Welcome to the Been There, Got Out podcast. I'm Lisa, a state certified domestic violence advocate and veteran of more than 8 years in the trenches of the legal system, the last five successfully representing myself.
And I'm Chris. I'm a certified high conflict divorce coach. And between the two of us, we have all this knowledge and experience that we never wanted. But now we can put it to great use, providing expert guidance to people in high conflict divorce and custody situations, so you have the best chance in court and beyond.
Having the right support from people who get it is so critical to getting you and your children through it as unscathed as possible. And that's exactly what we do through our interviews with experts and other content right here on this podcast. So let's get to it. It's Lisa from Been There, Got Out. And tonight's guest is Jen Przycki from Przycki White. She'll introduce herself as soon as she pops on here. We met recently, well, a couple months ago through someone else that we know, and we haven't met live, but we might actually, let me see if she's here. We might actually have a chance to meet live in July because we're going to be in California, and that's where she's from. And I'm looking to see where she is. Jen, where are you? All right, there she is. Okay. So let me invite her to join. I see you, Jen. Let me just get you on here. All right.
No. Wait, let's see if this works. There you are. Hi. I invited you and it said that you're unable to join. I was like, oh no. But then it worked. Okay. Big relief. All right. So I was saying we met recently, but virtually, but we might be able to meet in real life in person next month, I hope. We'll see, because we're going to be in LA.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jen, why don't you first introduce yourself and say what you do, because you have a very specialized career.
I do. My name is Jennifer Przycki. I'm with the Przycki White Real Estate team here in California, and we specialize in divorce real estate sales and how that relates to anybody going through a divorce or a separation.
Yeah, and that's like a whole new level, because I would imagine that most brokers don't have that specialty. So what's the difference between you and like a general real estate broker?
Well, we went and got special training. I started my journey in real estate, as all agents do, but then realized there were special needs my clients have, and one of them is in a divorce situation. So we went out and got certified as a certified real estate divorce specialist, and also some general mediation classes that have helped in high conflict resolution situations. All of that extra training has helped us out tremendously.
I was going to say, like, what are some common scenarios that you see? Like, what do you notice with divorce sales, divorce real estate dealings versus regular?
Well, first and foremost, there's typically two parties that have different opinions of what should happen and what's in their best interest. And that's sometimes hard to come together with, right? One spouse wants to buy the house and the other one wants to sell it, how do you come to that resolution that is in the best interest of everybody and really helps you move forward? And so when I started in probate and trust administration because I just had found myself in that situation. The same situations happen in probate and trust administration sales as that happen in divorce sales. We just have conflicting interests in the parties that are selling. Typically, when you're selling a house, you're dealing with a family that wants to have the same situation going forward. So that's the difference.
Yeah, and I think
it's not always easy.
Yeah, I was going to say the overlap with what you do is definitely with what we do, because moving and divorce are some of the most stressful experiences a person ever has to go through.
Yeah.
So to have it happen at once is a double whammy. And we know a lot of times people can't afford to stay in the same home, and they're dealing with fears about what's going to happen to their kids, routine and consistency. And oh my gosh, just the idea of home and all these changes. Like I was going to say, what drew you to all of this emotion?
Well, it was really finding myself in a probate situation with my father's estate and having those similar conflicts with my own family. And then the more we went through it, the more clients we had with divorcing clients that we had. And it's just a really nice place, but it's an empathetic place to be. I can come in and help you go through some of the hardest times you're ever going to have to go through. And because of my own experience in that space myself, going through it, I think we come to it with a different mindset and a little bit easier hand-holding and talking people into, like, there is an end to this. There's a future for you after this. And it's so overwhelming. It can really take the wind out of you and knock your legs out from underneath you. There's just so many moving parts. So I try to guide my clients through it as best we can and give them good, clear steps on how to move forward and what the decision process needs to look like to make that choice.
And what you said just now about the decision process, so many of our people are dealing with coercive control where they've been in these relationships where they've inadvertently given their authority to somebody else. And often coming out of these situations is we are unable to make decisions. A lot of people literally cannot decide what they want to order off a menu because they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten what they want. And this makes me think actually of something, not with a whole real estate thing, but with a contractor in my own life years ago when I was still married. Our whole kitchen, like every appliance broke, and it was finally time, like we have to do something. And so I ended up getting this female contractor in who had a background in art, which is, of course, my thing. And she's like, okay, so Lisa, what do you want? And I said, I just want functioning appliances. Like, I don't care. And she said, no, this is an opportunity for you. You know, this is something, like, think about something that you think is beautiful and let's start there. And I couldn't do it.
Right.
It's not that I thought nothing was beautiful, but I felt like for so long, my opinions and desires just didn't even matter. And I kind of shut that part of myself off.
Yeah, I can see that. I see that with many of my clients. So we try to give them as much information as possible and then kind of walk them through it and hold their hands and say, do you understand this? Because when you've been out of the decision-making for so long, as many of my clients are, it is hard to know and trust yourself and trust your instincts again, right?
Yeah. And, you know, this makes me think of a recent conversation we just had. I can't even remember with who, but it was about how. Okay. So it was about the importance of getting involved. It was with Rhonda Nordic last week. The importance of having professionals involved who are trauma informed and understand what their clients are actually dealing with. And I love how you said it's horrible that you had to go through it, but you're like a been there, got out kind of person too.
Yes.
Like you've experienced it. So you can do your job with such tremendous empathy versus someone who doesn't get it. And I know with our people, sometimes things need to be repeated multiple times and professionals can get very frustrated because like, I told you this 3 times, like, why don't you get it? And that makes things worse because our clients already feel like I don't know why. Like I already feel horrible and I'm an idiot. So to have somebody who's helping hold their hand through it, explaining things, making sure they get it is such a relief, you know, in the mix of all this other chaos.
Well, and then there's multiple options of how to resolve a conflict, right? And not everybody doesn't have to be a loser in any of them. So to do that is a really, to explain that and show each party the benefit of a certain situation or a certain tactic that we might use to sell real estate or, you know, solve a problem. That's really important too. It's important to kind of help our clients discover that everything, you know, it's kind of take the steam out of it sometimes. And when you do that, it betters the situation for everybody. If you can, you know, I was watching one of your podcasts about, or a post that you had about how to handle what was a bad comments or something like that. It was great. just take out the steam and let's come to this as a business decision. And I love that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Thank you. So, and what you just said too, about how there doesn't have to be a loser in the situation. Just today, we had a meeting with a therapist who also does mediation and collaborative divorce. And she was saying how important it is to not make people feel like there are losers, that one person's the winner, one person's the good one, and one person's the bad one, because then the one who's being accused and attacked, even if they earned that, but they, when professionals start attacking them, they want to walk away. And the point is to keep everyone engaged to finish the process instead of making things worse by, being antagonistic.
100%. And what we find is that when there's disruption and bad energy, and I don't mean to be woohoo, but when you walk into a house, there's a feeling to the house. And if there's disruption and negative energy in a house, people that are walking through, potential buyers, are going to feel it. And that's going to affect the purchase price that you're going to get for your home. So you want to disrupt that energy. You want to bring positive energy to the situation and show everybody how we can all work together towards a common goal and get everybody what they want. So it's really, really important, because in the end, it affects the bottom line for our clients if they choose to sell the house.
Yeah. You know, and what you said about bad energy, I think about people, like, especially our clients who are like, I'm burning sage, like their ex leaves. Are there things that you see people do to sort of get rid of the bad energy in a home?
100%. Yeah. Saging, top one, California. Yeah, we sage a lot of houses. We St. Christopher's have been buried before. We have shaman that come in. We have kinds of professionals that come in. But more importantly, and more often than not, a stager would make a huge difference, you know, for our clients. We do, staging is a huge issue, but also when your life isn't in order, your house typically isn't in order as well. So a lot of these situations that we go into, these divorce situations, the home has a lot of deferred maintenance, mostly because you can't agree to do, you know, to get done what needs to get done, right? You just struggled with this. And so what we come into, to get the house ready, we bring in our own contractors and we do, what we call free model, and we remodel the home, take care of any deferred maintenance, make the house look exceptional as best we can, sage it, do whatever, stage it at the end and put it on the market. So you get the most money for your house, possible, because without it, you know, buyers can feel it. And we want to do everything in our power to disrupt that negative energy and put the house in the best light when and if we choose to sell it. Not always the case. We don't always sell the houses. It's not always in the client's best interest.
You keep making comments. I'm like, ooh, that makes me think of this. Ooh, that makes me think of that. Like deferred maintenance. I mean, that just fits my own situation for years. And I never thought about it, but we hear from a lot of clients how their exes refuse to fix things that are broken.
Yeah.
It's symbolic. It's like the house is a mess. That's why I said all of our appliances had broken. And it was like, come on. Like after each one, I'd be like, we need to do something. Nah, we can wait. No, we can wait for that. And it was like, we don't have money. Of course, they have money for their stuff, but not for our stuff.
Of course.
Yours. Yes. But So when you have people come in and make it, it sounds like a makeover. Do you ever have people hire you and say, my ex is out, can you just fix my house and do everything but not sell it?
Well, we have resources for that. I tend to like to sell because that's my
business. Sounds great. Like what a great divorce present.
Yeah. But you know, we want to make sure, yes, we bring in those people. We can introduce our clients to those people if they choose to do that. So yeah, and sometimes that's in the best interest of our clients. Our clients negotiate a great settlement with their spouse. And part of that settlement is remodeling or fixing the deferred maintenance of the house before you finalize your divorce. Possibly your house needs a termite inspection and some repair work. We can help you get that done. But you know, we want to make sure that in the end, if you decide to keep the house, that you can afford it, because that's a huge issue for our clients. And about 68% of all people who keep the house sell within 18 months.
Oh, I was like,
18 months because they haven't done the calculations of how expensive it is to keep a house on your own. So
yeah,
that's really important. So if you choose to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So what tips do you think you can provide people with, like if they're they know that they're separating or getting a divorce and they're trying to figure out what to do? What are things that you absolutely need to know? Because we always find out later, oh, I wish I knew that before this happened.
Well, first of all, get your paperwork in order. Know what you owe on the property. Know what your equity position is on the property. Find out if there's any safety issues in your house, mold, water, intrusion, massive termite damage, which we have in California a lot, something big, an electrical issue. Those things need to be taken care of before you put your house on the market, mostly because for the majority of the sellers or buyers that we have on the market, they are going to get a loan, and loans require safety issues to be, most safety issues to be taken care of if they're identified.
Okay, wait, before you go on with the equity, how would somebody find out how much equity they have in the house?
Call your lender. And really on your statement, your monthly statement, you should have a balance sheet of where you are, so where your standing is in equity. But also then don't forget your tax basis. If you're having the lender keep your tax payments, make sure you have that calculation. And then if you have an association, you also need the cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the cost of your, and don't forget your insurance, because that's the cost of keeping a house, right? Monthly payments and those kinds of things.
Then so calculating around, all the stuff, is that what you're saying with the insurance? Okay.
Yeah.
Equity, costs, safety, insurance.
You're going to need that. If you're going to keep the house, you need those things in place and you need them to be paid. You need to make sure you can afford them. And then go through, you might want to call home inspection company and have them do a home inspection on the property to see if there's any safety issues that you're not aware of. A lot of times we kind of are blind to our own properties. We just like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. That's just the way you live around problems, right, in your house. So make sure you get a home inspection. If you're considering selling, consider if there's something huge like a big termite bill that you need to negotiate through a settlement, a divorce settlement.
You know, what you said regarding safety makes me think of a conversation we had with someone quite a while ago about the importance of getting a safety inspection, even if you don't sell it, but say someone, there's a buyout. If you don't get a safety inspection and then you make a settlement and then you realize there's all of this hidden problems that have to get taken care of, then you're responsible for that.
100%. And do you want to be responsible for that? You need to know that going into the settlement discussion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then lastly, and probably more importantly, is the tax advantages. Are there any tax advantages to selling now while you're still married and or possibly later on after you're divorced? You need to know what that is. The tax exemption, $250,000 or $500,000 tax exemption for when you sell your home for capital gains. What's going to happen to that if you buy your husband out or your spouse out of the house? And then what if you have to sell in 18 months? Your exemption just dropped $250,000. How is it structured in the divorce settlement, your payoff to your spouse? Is that part of directly a payout for that house so that you can use it to offset capital gains later on? You need to make sure you're structuring that with your attorney really well.
Yeah, so it's like you need several professionals involved with this process before you come to any final settlement, because you want to make sure you've covered all your bases.
Yes. And that's kind of why a divorce specialist, we come in with all of those tools and resources at our ready. We can come in and tell you X, Y, and Z, let's get this together. Let's look at this here and later on. And what is the best decision for you and your family?
So when you said before with the staging and then the people who come and cleanse the house, you have people that you know. If somebody is, let's say I'm in the middle of a divorce and I'm at the very beginning and I, know you through a friend and I call you, but I'm like, Jen, I don't know who, where to start. Do you have people that you're like, I can recommend this person to do this, and like all kinds of professionals, not just the stuff with the real estate? Like, do you work with attorneys or who else?
Because
that would be so helpful again to our people who are like, I don't know where to begin. I mean, we always hear the word, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. So it's 100%. So great to meet people who have those networking connections where they're like, I know this person, I trust this person, use them.
Yes, we have everybody from a divorce coaches that kind of help you get your feet on the ground and direct you, you know, keep you going straight forward, to forensic CPAs, estate planning attorneys, divorce attorneys, contractors, everything, the whole gamut. We have people who do hoarding specialists. Sometimes we have that. Sometimes that's the deal breaker in a divorce, is there's a hoarding situation. And, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you take care of that?
Pretty common in our arena, because a lot of our clients are dealing with exes who have addictions, and hoarding is right up there.
No doubt. Yeah. It's a mental illness, and it's, you know, just like a drug addiction.
Right. Wow. So that's a relief. Okay. Let's talk about how kids are affected with all of this. What do you see in your work, and what is some advice you might give people who either are forced to move or thinking of moving? Like, how do you deal with the kids through this? Big changes.
And I think the most important thing to keep in mind as an adult in this situation is that your house is your kids' safe haven. It's their home. It's their place where they disconnect from the world outside. And it's their space. And it's really, really important for you to be mindful of keeping it a safe space. I advise highly that clients do not talk badly about their spouse, or talk about your spouse is forcing the sale of this house. Yeah. That is really toxic to a child. One of the other things I see is parents asking their children if they should sell the house or get in a rental. I have seen it multiple times. I think it's horrible to put that burden on a child. They are most often too young to make a decision or understand the gravity of that decision financially and emotionally. I think you need to build a great place, even if it's not in your house that you've been living at. Go make a new house. Go get a non-toxic environment that your child can flourish in, and that you make it a really safe environment for them to go to, and make it a better situation for them, right? That's what you want. You want them to thrive through this. So the fact that they just had their home taken away from them, regardless of their of your situation, whatever that is, if it's good or bad or in between, you move to another place, make that a new haven. But don't talk to them as much. Just don't involve them. Just tell them matter-of-factly, this is what's happening. We're making this decision. Regardless of whether you sell a house, people sell houses all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and there's all kinds of reasons people sell their house, and it's not always a bad situation. So making it as positive as possible, or as neutral as possible, is really, really important for our kids.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
They internalize so much.
Yeah. I mean, we see that. So how can people find you? Is there anything else that I forgot to ask you?
I don't think so. I think, you know, when you're talking about or planning, or maybe you're, depending on where you are in the situation, there's all kinds of, you know, you're on the spectrum of things. Come find a real estate agent that specializes in divorce real estate, because they will have all the resources that you need, from attorneys to stagers and everything in between. And then make sure that they have all the unique benefits. One of the things that is completely unique to us is that we have a spouse's buyout option. So what if one of the spouses wants to sell the house and one wants to buy it and keep it for themselves? How do you come to terms with the highest price or the best price for the property? You could get an appraisal, but appraisers can only adjust 10% either way on any one adjustment, unless they want to come to the table and explain it. It's really hard for appraisers to do that. But one of the best way is to put it on the market. The only way to establish fair market value is to put it on the market and see what the market bears. In this market, we're still getting $150,000, $200,000 over market value for houses. It's crazy. Wow. Because the supply and demand chain, you know, situation is what it is. So make sure your client, your real estate agent has that option for you, and make sure that they can take care of any deferred maintenance if that's a problem, and or possibly get a bridge loan so that you can move into the next house before you sell this one, and how that all works together. There's all kinds of options. So if your clients need to reach out to me or find somebody anywhere in the state, I network with all kinds of people in this arena nationwide. Our website is perzikiwhite.com. You're going to have to put that in the comments because the spelling is a terrible thing.
Well, I'm going to put your tag. So there'll be, your handle. So they'll be able to just click and find you. Yeah. But thank you so much, Jen, for coming and sharing all of this. I mean, we haven't talked about real estate here in a long time. So this is really important. And especially the stuff with dealing with the kids, because that seems to be such a big pain point. Are people on top of everything else?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, this is not only emotional, it's also financial. And that just, it elevates the stress of selling a house.
Yeah. All right. So thanks, Jen. And I hope to see you in person next month.
Yes, I can't wait. Thanks okay, so much take for care. Having me.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Been There, Got Out podcast. Please leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. And you can find us easily on all major social media, but especially Instagram and YouTube. If you think we might be able to help you with your own situation, just visit beentheregotout.com and click the button to schedule a complimentary discovery call. Thanks again, and see you next time.